Welcome.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome.
Hey, Ron.
Well, as we struggle every week, we're having a little difficulty here in our.
Life is a song worth singing. I can tell. Sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do. In your life, you're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
Welcome to another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And today's date is August 1st, 2018. It's hard to believe that half of the year has already passed us by. And you know, those who join us on a regular basis, you know that call-in number is 646-668-2948. And if you follow us on a regular basis, you know the slogan for our show is, if it's power in numbers, then the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative LLC captures that power for your financial benefit. Now, today we have another very, very exciting show for our listening audience. And once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. And we always have to pay a few bills, so we always want to let people know that this show is brought to you by the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, which is a blueprint for economic self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African Americans on solar installation companies to address the economic effects of high energy costs at our historically Black colleges and universities, to utilize Black-owned farmlands, HBCU campuses, to develop initiatives for solar installations to bring down the under and underemployment rate of our young African American, Millennial and Z population, as well as educating the Black community locally and nationally about the economic impacts on climate change, the need for environmental education in the Black community through Black Talk Radio programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. This show is also brought to you by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, HBCU Radio Talk Show Initiative. It's also brought to you by Scotton Communications Network, specializing in the following areas: public relations, writing, editing, web development, web editing, magazine production, online and traditional, newspaper production, online and traditional, speech writing, book writing, editing and publishing, and speaker bureau management. And that contact information is ScottonCommunicationsNetwork.com. Once again, that's ScottonCommunicationsNetwork.com. S-C-O-T-T-O-N, communicationsnetwork.com, and that contact person is Dr. Gwendolyn Scott-Bethay. Now, as we open this show every week, we are very, very pleased to have with us today a person who is not a stranger to this platform or these airways, Ms. Yesenia Riviera, who is the D.C. Program Director for Solar United Neighbors. And we will be blessed to have her today to give us an update on the exciting update on the 51st State Solar Cooperative. But first, I want Yesenia, welcome to the airways of Solar Now in the Future.
Hey, Ron. Thank you for having me on.
Well, you're more than welcome. You see, I want sort of to share with our young people who are listening to the show, what is your background? Because I never asked you that, having you on the show several times, because I like to sort of give our young listening audience an idea of what type of areas of study and what they need to do to be able to be gainfully employed in this renewable energy industry. And I think the position that you hold with D.C. Neighborhoods United is very, very interesting position. So could you sort of give us a little of your background and what you do with D.C. Neighborhoods United?
Sure. Originally, I studied biology. I have a bachelor's in science and in biology. Then I ended up in law school, focused on community development. That's how I ended up at Solar United Neighbors. I had experience working in the district, low to moderate income families, and community development itself. So between biology and community development, I ended up in this position.
Well, you're a very, very hardworking individual. I know that for a fact because I've been out in the trenches with you on some of the information sessions that y'all provide through the Solar for All program, which y'all are one of the grantees of the awardees of the 2017-18 program. Now, exactly... what is the Solar for All program that DOEE has?
Well, the Solar for All initiative is a wonderful program. The idea is to help 100,000 families, low to moderate income families in the district, go solar at no cost to them and cut their bill by 50%. And the goal is to have everything done by 2032. Now, we're one of the grantees. Our program focuses on solar rooftops, so individual homeowners, single-family homes, townhouses, little houses, as long as so what we're doing is we're helping them get a system that's going to cut their bill by 50%, and we're going to cover the cost of the system. So it's at no cost to them.
Well, I know that there's an 80% median income level to qualify for this program. And I want to share with our listening audience what that AMI is. Now, for a household of eight people, it's $102,250. For a household of seven people, it's $96,050. For a household of six, it's $89,850. For a household of five, it's $83,650. A household of four, $77,450. A household of three, $69,750. Household of two is $62,000. Household of one is $54,250. Now, this Solar for All program specifically is a project is open only to single-family homeowners or row houses and townhouses.
Our program, our specific grant is open to single-family homeowners, townhouses or row houses. There are other programs that are open to people living in multifamily buildings, like co-ops, condos, apartments. And as long as you meet the same income levels, it works a little different. You get either a credit on your bill that cuts it in half, or you get a check to cover half of your bill. Depends on who the grantee is. But if they want more information on that, all they have to do is call DOE.
Well, let me give out their web address. They can go to the online... because everybody's got a Android phone or a smartphone or some kind of phone, because people can't even walk down the street anymore without it's radar. Their eyes are zoomed in on the faces of their phones, so they can just key in doee.dc.gov/solar-for-all. Once again, that address is doee.dc.gov/solar-for-all. Now, it's very, very interesting the Solar for All program, but your organization, I want people to know that this organization, Neighborhoods United, was originally started here in the District of Columbia by a very dynamic lady by the name of Miss Anna Schulman. And that organization at the time, they referred to themselves as DC Sun. But I want you to sort of talk about some of the terms and conditions, Yesenia, for people, entry-level participation, people signing up. Mm-hmm. I understand it's not binding legally or financially or otherwise to purchase or install any equipment or to enter into contracts to accept bids or business. So I want you to sort of go into explaining what are some of the terms and conditions for people joining the program.
So there's several steps they have to take to get qualified and get into the program. The first is joining the co-op. And like you said, there's no commitment to join the co-op. If you're not happy with the proposal, you're free to walk away at that stage. There's no cost to join the co-op, again, free of charge. So once you join the co-op and you indicate that you're interested in playing pool, you typically get a phone call from either myself or one of our school coordinators, and we walk you through the program. Now, that entails that you still have to do two things to get income qualified, and that's filling out a one-page application for some pool, and then you have to do the LIHEAP, the Loan Income Housing Energy Assistance Program. Portal, that's what DOE is using to collect all your documents and do the income verification. We're not doing any of that. The district is. But the district then lets me know whether or not a person is qualified. If their income qualified, what we do is, if we have an installer selected for that round, they go straight to the installer. The installer is going to make a call, make an appointment with them, sit down, explain the size of their system, which is going to be based on their utility bill for the last year. And how much energy they've used. They're going to assign a system to cut that in half, and they're going to present the homeowner with a proposal. Now, if the homeowner agrees with the proposal, again, it's zero cash for them. It's all covered by the grant and the SRACs. But if they agree, they're agreeing to keep the system on their roof for 15 years. Now, they can sell the house if they want to, whenever they want to. There's no limitation on who they sell the house to. They just have to tell DOE who they're selling the house to. And if they have to take the system off the roof for some reason, they have to ask DOE first. Those are the agreements on the covenant. And then you also have to sell the first 5 years, you agree to sell the first 5 years of the SRAC in order for it to be zero money. And you'll have to sign a contract saying you're selling the first 5 years of the SRAC. But that's about it. That covers everything then. It covers the system. It's going to be on your roof for at least 20, 25 years, but it has to be at least 15.
I don't want to stop you in the middle of your explaining this program, Yesenia, but you're using a very, very technical term. You're saying SRACs.
I know.
Would you please explain to my audience, because on this show we like to make it plain so every day Joe and everybody moving slow can understand this, because some folks, you talk very, very, very fast, and you can't help that, because I have to explain to you young folks, because that is the mood and the mode of communications that y'all are on. But the bottom line is, would you go back and please explain to our listening audience, because this is a very important term, because in 2016, Mayor Blauser in July signed into law the 2016 Renewable Portfolio Standard Act, which under that Renewable Portfolio Standard Act, 5% was mandated for solar energy, and it was much different than all other forms of solar energy, because you have biomass, you have wind turbine, you have hydrogenetics. But for solar, I had the privilege of having the chair of the Public Service Commission on my show, Miss Betty Ann Kane, and she indicated that for solar, it must come from the physical land geographics of the District of Columbia. And
exactly.
The reason why this term Estrax is so important, because there is a shortfall of DC land-based solar. And the only way that you can bring solar energy, make it a reality, is jobs. You have to build it. So it employs individuals when people sign up for this program. And we want to make sure the more of our low and moderate income communities sign up for this program and participate in this program, that means you need more installers to do the work.
Exactly.
Now, when we began to look at the costs associated with this Estrax issue because of lack of this shortfall in D.C., said they have something called the appliance fee, which PEPCO in 2016 was fined $15 million extra. Well, not extra, was fined $15 million, and D.C. ratepayers paid $15 million extra for energy in the District of Columbia. In 2017, that number jumped to $30 million. So if you want to know why your electric bill is shooting through the roof, it's something called infrastructure. Rooftop solar infrastructure. And that,
going back to Estrax,
it determines that PEPCO must buy these certificates from people who are DC residents with solar systems on their homes to offset this energy cost rising that's taking everybody's electricity bill up. Now, I didn't want to be long-winded and preach to the deacon and the bishop, because I know that Yacina knows this information. But I want our people to understand how this applies and hits them in their pockets, because these fees are being passed on to them in way of what they call compliance fees, which is driving up your electricity bill. And the only way to offset this is to install PV systems on your top of your house. So with not me being any longer winded, I think I made it pretty plain so folks could understand. So you can go on into talking about a little more about this Estrax piece, because I think it's very important.
Well, yes, it is. So as you were saying, when we signed the 2016 Renewable Portfolio Standard, it increased the solar carve-out, which means the amount of solar energy that has to be produced inside the district, to 5, but that's by the year 2032. It goes up in increments. So the utility companies have two choices. They either pay the alternative compliance payment, which is about $500 per megawatt, or they go out to solar businesses and solar homeowners and buy the credits from them. And how these credits are generated is, it's a little tricky. It's easier to explain in an info session, but I'll try to explain it for you, the listeners. So what happens is, when you install a solar system, let's say you install a 3.5 average system onto this program, you're going to generate about 4 to 5 credits a year for each for your solar system. And those credits are worth money, because, like I said, they either pay the compliance payment or they pay you at a lower rate. Right now in D.C., those solar renewable energy credits are worth between $300 and $400. Now, this
how
is
much
the market.
Would you,
the market can
would
go
say,
up and down.
Okay,
they're
you
about $300 to $400.
Okay. I want to make sure I heard what you said.
Yeah, no. They're worth each between $300 and $400 right now. But like I said, it's a market. The market tends to go up and come down. You really have no control over that. But what we're doing, so that people don't have to come out of pocket to cover their system, is we're selling the first 5 years up front of those credits, and that in the grant covers the system entirely, so that people don't have to come out of pocket.
And the first thing that people need to understand is that this Solar for All program is so unique that you own the system from day one. You own it.
Yep.
It's on top of your house.
Yep.
It's not like someone coming in to you telling you, oh, we want to give you we'll put the system on top of your roof. And it's not like a solar lease. And could you sort of explain the difference between a solar lease and why this program is so important?
Well, some other programs, what they've been doing in the past is that they're using those SRACs. So the third party owns the SRACs, owns that income, and owns the tax credits. But you get the system and you get the savings on your bill. Where our model, you own the system, you own the tax credit, so if you have the tech liability, you can use the tax credit. And after year six, that SRAC income is yours. You get the income.
Would you explain to our listening audience what that federal tax credit is? I think it's around $7,500, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, the tax credit is going to depend on the cost of the system. So you'll get a 30%. Tax credit on depending on the cost of the system. Let's say you install the system this year, it's $10,000 that we paid for it, but you will get a $3,000 credit on your bill, on your tax bill.
I'm confusing the federal tax credit for electric vehicles and this, as you said, it is a 30%, so it's based on the size of the system. But I want people to understand that this is something that also helps you defer the cost of installing a PV system on one's home. Now, I know time goes fast, and I always have to. I don't want to rush you, but I want to make sure we get this information out. What are some of the number one impediment for people when you are out in the community doing these information sessions? What's the number one impediment and issue that the community, especially people in Ward 5, 7, and 8, and 6 run into? Would you say that root problem is their roofs need to be repaired?
Some of them, yes. I've seen that. But I think for the most part, they've been self-selective. They don't come up to me if they think their roof needs a lot of work. So I've done one or two that need some repairs. Roof condition is number one. The second largest problem is completing the income qualification process because it has to be done online, and not everybody has access to uploading the documents.
So we
try to help with home visits.
Well, so what you were saying is a lot of the individuals who can qualify, they may not have internet access in their homes.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason why I want to bring these points out, Yacina, is because DOEE, they did not budget money for roof repair. And that is not Neighborhoods United's. It's a problem, but they didn't create the problem. And what I like to say to people is, when you're thinking through a process, and if you're really talking about helping low and moderate income communities, not just here in D.C., but across this country, one of the things you have to understand in any urban market, when you begin to look at who these homeowners are, you will find in what were traditionally African-American communities, most of the homeowners are my age. They're baby boomers. So these homes are not new homes.
They've been in the family for generations.
That's right. So you're talking about aged housing stock. So you have to take that in consideration. And nobody can tell me that I'm the only one that's looked at this issue and know that this issue exists. And I beat on this issue because I am advocate of support of this Solar for All program. It needs to be put on steroids. More funding needs to be put in this program. But you got to put, if you're going to appropriate Someone indicated to me that I don't know who the grantees will be for this year because they haven't announced them, and I know that because I checked.
No.
But I do know that
yeah,
$13 million went out for 17 and 18, and fortunately, Neighborhoods United was one of the grantees. I think y'all got about a $2 million grant. But
you have
a huge, huge responsibility. Y'all have been trying to get you've done public information sessions all over the District of Columbia. I think the last one you just did was at the Dr. Hyatt Library on Benning Road, but y'all have been in all eight wards of the district. And when you go to these meetings, because of the dissemination of information, getting information out to the community has been, that's why I created this platform, to help get this information out. When these information sessions are held, they're held in the evenings, and a lot of times when you have these information sessions, it's the time where you got millennials, they got young kids, they pick them up from babies, they get them home, but y'all do provide babysitting fees, y'all provide something, even some food for people to eat, but the response from the community is not what it should be, because when you're talking about an issue of 100,000 residents reducing their energy bill by year 2032, well, that may sound like it's a long ways away, but believe me, when you get my age, you find out 10 years shoot by real quick on you. You look up and say, I didn't understand. Well, I'm telling you, for our listening audience, you need to be getting to these information sessions that DC United is putting out now. So with the total grant that y'all were awarded, how many families or homes will y'all be able to assist? Because we're going to let people know that y'all have had people signing up for these programs in your first round.
Yeah, we've had
35 participants currently.
Between round one and two, we have about 50 participants that have gone through the income verification process. We have 24 contracts that have been signed with the first installer. And those installations are going to start happening in August.
Okay.
And the system size is a little larger than what we had projected. Originally, when we wrote the grant, we're looking at a 3.5 kilowatt system. Right now, we're almost a watt on ahead of that, so 4.4 kilowatts in terms of system size. So we're expecting to help around 200 families. It's going to depend on the system size.
Let me say this. If you sign up for this program and you qualify, and you are able to utilize this Solar for All program through Neighborhoods United, you just hit the number. It's just like hitting the lottery, because the sun comes up every day, and those solar
even
panels.
Even when it's cloudy, you get something.
Even when it's cloudy. Now, let me explain to you why this is so important. I happen to live in Ward 9. It's an inside joke. Some folks call it Prince George's County. And if you live in Prince George's County, they also have a program called Transitioning Neighborhood Initiative, which is supposed to assist low and moderate income residents, but they use a 63% area median income. And you have to reside in a specific zip code that begins with 207. Now, I'm not going to go into, because I beat the drum about this issue with Mrs. Eric Bannerman, who's their energy director in Prince George's County. Lovely young lady, but it's a deal breaker. because you cannot walk into any community, any neighborhood, and look at how well those houses are kept up or how well the lawns are manicured and tell what the income levels are of those people residing inside those properties, because especially in this DMV market area, because a great number of people who purchase these homes in this city and in Prince George's County, they are now retired. And it's something called fixed income. And most people who are on fixed income in the District of Columbia, can we say you will qualify for this Solar for All program? But you have to apply. Now, I understand that you have, as you said, you have 52 residents, participants in your second round, because your first round is closed. When did that round close, and when did the second round begin, Yesenia?
So the first round closed at the end of May, May 31st, and we started round two on June 1st. So it's 50 between the both rounds. I don't know the exact split right now. I think it's 30 in the first round, 20 in the second round, something like that.
Well, what I want people to know, if your income level exceeds that 80% median income, Neighborhoods United also has put in place financing options to assist those people who would like to go solar, and it teaches you how to go solar as a group participant, as in a co-op. So would you please explain some of the benefits of people who would not qualify for the Solar for All program but would still like to go solar, and by coming to the information sessions that y'all provide, y'all do an excellent job in that pinpoint presentation explaining that to the participants, because you have quite a few people who have gone and participated in the first round, and quite a few, I guess the majority of those people did not qualify for the Solar for All program. Is that correct?
Yeah, we had about 60 contracts signed in the first round. Only 24 of those were Solar for All. The rest were regular folks above the 80% income limit, so they paid for the systems themselves. What we do is when we grouped people together in the co-op form, and that helps them take advantage of bulk purchasing. That helps bring down the price, because installers typically spend between $2,000 and $3,000 in customer acquisition alone per customer. So we are bringing them a group of individuals that has been educated, that is interested in going solar, and that makes their life a lot easier.
Well, it certainly does.
Down to the consumer.
And I'm going to put in a plug to get our people to start calling their city council people in all eight wards, because it's two very important factors. There is a program out here called the C-PACE program. It's a commercial as well as residential financing program. And the C-PACE program was passed by Congress, where solar installations and upgrades are now looked at the same way that they look at sewer and road construction. It's infrastructure. That is why you have what you call investment tax credits, ITCs, which are due to expire in year 2021. But at the end of 2019, these investment tax credits start to depreciate. They drop from 30% to 26%. At the end of 2020, they drop from 26% to 22%. Unless Congress extends this, and this is what Barack Hussein Obama's administration put in place. Folks holler, oh, President Obama didn't do nothing for black folks. Well, he did something for folks, period, with the Sunshine Identity Initiative, which is the driving force where $9.1 billion was put into place to help low and moderate income residents be able to get PV systems through on their homes. And this was the national. And if you don't have to take my word for it, but you can log on to our website at positivechangepc.com. Click on our first video, and you will hear this coming from President Barack Hussein Obama's mouth himself. Now, I don't have to talk about whether he was a good or great president. All you got to get with is a little bit of our daily drama of 45, and I'll leave it there. But what I'm saying is this is a outstanding program, this Solar for All program, and this program is not going to be there forever unless people get busy calling their city council people, letting them know if you do not qualify for the Solar for All program, you would like to see the CPACE residential program put voted into law in the District of Columbia, because they've already passed legislation for the commercial CPACE program. Matter of fact, Mayor Bowser signed off on a situation which allowed New Columbia Solar to get a $25 million basically grant to put financing on top of solar panels on top of the new DC United Stadium that's in Buzzard Point. So if she can sign off on that commercial CPACE program for $25 million, certainly the city council can get busy passing that for residential. And the reason why it's so important and how it would support the Solar for All program, because it's not based on your credit score, it's not based on your equity in the property, is based on the value of your property. And you can borrow between 20% to 35% of the property value, and it will fix your roof and the infrastructure issues that is prohibiting a lot of D.C. residents from being able to take advantage of this Solar for All program. It's a reason why I am going through this process, explaining this to our listening audience. And they can join us by calling 646-668-2948, because I know I'm not going to be able to hold Mrs. Yacina Riviera much longer, because I only got 30 minutes of her valuable time. But Yacina, I know that you have some upcoming events that y'all have scheduled. I know that you have a Wednesday, August 8th, you have a happy hour. And most people do like to drink a beer. I'm not anti-brew, but could you explain that of the two events, you got something coming up on August 8th here in the district, and then on October 6th and 7th, I think it's a National Solar Open House Day. Could you go into explain that to our listening audience, please?
We have several things. This Friday, I'm going to be at the Marshall Heights Community Development Center part of the Community Fridays. So I think that's around noon. So if anybody wants to talk in person about Solar for All, that is 3939 Benning Road.
Okay.
Sorry, 3939 Benning Road, Northeast.
3939 Benning Road. And that'll be Northeast. 12 noon, and this will be an information session for the community, correct?
No, it's just a Community Friday. They have speakers from all over the community talking about different programs. I'll be one of those speakers. But I'm happy to stay around if anybody wants to talk. We do have the Brews from the Sun. That's a town petition that's going on right now. That's the happy hour on August 8th.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be at the Right Proper Brewery in Shaw. It's right next to the Shaw-Howard Metro. And if you want to come and, you know, help a local DC brewery that's also a solar power brewery. We have this competition among all 50 states to select the best solar power brewery. So if you want to come out and vote and spend some time with us, we'll also talk about Solar for All if you pull me aside and ask me. And then, as you said, we have the October 6th and 7th part of the National Solar Tour. We've joined with ACES, and it's all around the country. So those 2 days, people that have solar systems, some of them have agreed to have an open house, basically have a neighborhood come out, look at the system, ask questions, learn more about going solar and what it entails. There's several already in the district. You can just Google National Solar Tour, and you can look up where in the district and sign up for one of the solar open houses.
Well, you are a very, very, very busy young lady, Ms. Rivera, so I know I'm going to have to let you go at this time. But I want to thank you for taking time from your very, very busy schedule to join us here on this platform, Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America. And believe me, if you are living in the District of Columbia, you are already feeling the economic impact of renewable energy as it relates around this shortfall of D.C. Land-based solar in the District of Columbia, because those compliance fees are being passed back to you every month on your electricity bill. And if you want to know why they're going up, that's why they're going up. So I want to thank you once again for taking time from your very, very, very busy schedule to join us here on this airways of Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America, and you will not be a stranger to this program.
Thank you, Ron. I appreciate the time. You'll have a good day.
Well, I appreciate you and what you do every day, because I know how hard you work trying to get this information out to the Black community. And everybody else has a different model that they do. And some of the other grantees are doing, Ms. Lydia Abrams, she was one of the grantees. You had Groundswell. You have a litany of other organizations that are doing great work. But as you said, they have a different business model than Neighborhoods United. And when it's all said and done, when I look at it, what everybody does, because I go, none of them are out in the community engaging the African American community in our communities, in our wards, in our neighborhoods, explaining this information to our people the way that y'all do that. That is the reason why they can call me a cheerleader if they want to, but I've always been a starter. I ain't never cheerleaded nothing. So that's why I've been a starter out front for this program and for Neighborhoods United. And, I mean, y'all did an outstanding job back in April. Y'all had a Solar for All conference at the University of District of Columbia, and y'all bring these people in every year, and y'all have all these people talking about what's going on and how these things are affecting people's bottom line, which is their pocketbooks, because everybody got to pay the utility bills. Believe me, you will pay them. Okay? Without further ado, once again, Yucina, thank you very much. And you have anything you'd like to close with to our listening audience?
Well, like I said, if they want to stop by and talk to us, I'll be at the Marshall Heights Community Development Center this Friday.
And now, please,
and we'll
give out your web address.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, please give out your web address.
3939. Oh, our web address is solarunitedneighbors.org.
Please give that again a little slower. Please
solar
give that out. Look.
United. Sure.
Neighbors.
Solar United Neighbors. .org.
Okay, and that you have
that's
been had
minimum wage. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and you've had the privilege of listening to this dynamic young lady on this platform. And once again, Yucina, thank you very much for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Ron. Appreciate the time. You have a nice day.
All right,
day.
Thank you. You do the
Bye.
Same. And that was Ms. Yucina Rivera. Now, we're going to pause for the cause, and we're going to take a few minutes, and we're going to be talking news and events.
I hear the song was singing. I can tell. Sing it. Life is a song we sing it. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
Welcome back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And as we say every week, this show is brought to you by Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, the Black Sports Legends, HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative, and you can get more information on that by logging on to our website at PositiveChangePC.com. is also brought to you by Scotton Communications Network, specializing in the following areas: public relations, writing, editing, web development, web editing, magazine production, online and traditional, newspaper production, online and traditional, speech writing, book writing, editing and publishing, speaker bureau management. And for contact information, that's SCTTON, communicationsnetwork.com. That's SCTTON, communicationsnetwork.com. And that contact person is Dr. Gwendolyn Scott and Bethay. So please do not hesitate, and we are open for you to join us. So that call-in number is 646-668-692948, 664-668-2948. That's 646-668-2948. I don't know what's wrong with me today, but that's 646-668-2948. Now, we every week beat this platform, talk about news event and events, and that's what we're beginning to talk about right now. Reverse power flow, how solar power batteries shift the electric grid decision-making from utilities to consumers. Now, you're going to be able to find this information by logging on to PositiveChangePC.com. That's PositiveChangePC.com. Please click on our news and events tab, and you'll be able to scroll down to these links and these articles. Black Press Business Economic Feature, Back to Africa. I think this is very, very interesting because it's talking about renewable energy in Africa. Solar investment down nearly 20% from the first half of 2017. EVs could drive the rise in your electricity demand by 38%. This is a report that you definitely want to read, and it's talking about the department put out by the Department of Energy. Labs, they did this study, and this is very, very, it's going to hit home, because the state of Maryland is preparing to get ready to spend $3,600,000 over the next 3 years for electric vehicle infrastructure. The state of California, New York, and New Jersey is going to spend $1.3 billion. The District of Columbia has a proposal coming from Pepco going over to the Public Service Commission asking them to spend $15.5 million over the next few years for electric vehicle infrastructure. And I've looked at this proposal from DO. From Pepco going to the Public Service Commission in the D.C., and you will be paying for this. And it will, some of these, this infrastructure fee will be passed on to you also. So these are things that you are going to be concerned about, because they're going to affect you whether you know it or not when you look at your electric bill. I'm not making this up. Now, Why am I bringing this up? It's because all of your major manufacturers are gearing up to put over two point something million electric vehicles in the marketplace by the year of end of the year 2020. That's what they're projecting out. They ever can't put these vehicles in the marketplace without infrastructure. And for people to purchase electric vehicles, there are certain promotions that's being put out. Now, I've reached out to Nissan because Nissan has a promotion, and there is a $7,500 federal tax credit that people can take advantage of, and that's what I was talking to about earlier in the show. Rather than the 30% for solar rooftop for electric vehicles is $7,500. But Nissan, in fact, has put out a promotion for a $5,000 special rebate on the 2018 Nissan Leaf. But to qualify for this particular program, you must be a Pepco ratepayer who resides in one of the following states: Connecticut, Delaware, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New York, Rhode Island, and Vermont. Why is the District of Columbia, which is our nation's capital with 600,000 residents, and the state of Virginia left out of this? I know in D.C. they got Pepco, and I know that they only have one electric vehicle dealer, which is located in the 9th and 8th Street Northwest, which is Tesla. And I'm not running no advertisements for none of these people because none of them want to come on my show and talk about this electric vehicle industry. I put an invitation out for Tesla representatives. I've also contacted the Nissan dealership at Dulles and tried to get their representative to come on my show to explain to me about this incentive and the more details. So I'm not going to even get into when it runs out. My issue is, why aren't D.C. residents able to take advantage of this? Because if you live in the district, if you purchase an electric vehicle, you can write off the excise tax. The D.C. Council has passed that. In Maryland, they've done it also. It's up to $3,000 in Maryland. The district, I think, is about up to $5,000. So if you take in consideration, if you were able to take advantage, if you live in Maryland, you can do this. You can take advantage of that $5,000, but you must have this particular flyer. Now, if you weren't out in Rockville at the Pepco workshop that they just recently had there, and they had representatives from these dealerships. This was the Greater Washington, D.C., Maryland, State of Maryland Electric Vehicle Workshop and Showcase, which was held on July 12, 2018. And yours truly went out and covered it so I could bring this information back to the listening audience here in Pepco's DMV market area. But we also sent out advertising proposals to Pepco. They refused to advertise on this platform because I have an hour committed by Radio One, which is the number one, I would say, black radio talk format in the nation, which is owned by Dr. Kathy Hughes, which is her flagship station, 1450 AM, from 10 to 11 AM on Sunday mornings, and 95.9 FM. And we need to raise money for either a 13-week contract, a 26-week contract, or a 52-week contract. So I submitted an advertising proposal to Pepco, the Public Service Commission, and to DOEE. DOEE has decided they will not advertise, it will not buy advertising on this show platform that you are listening to right now. They've indicated you need to get back in contact with us after you got it up on the airways of WOL. Well, if I had the money to get it up on the airways of WOL, it'd already be on WOL. But who benefits from this? Pepco, you are the ones who sell the electricity. Your stockholders benefit. Bringing it back down to the electric vehicle, being that Pepco is charged with coming up with the proposal for infrastructure in the District of Columbia, which has to be approved by the Public Service Commission, we're talking about $15.5 million. And if these actual costs, if any of the, and I know they're going to be going after funding from the Public Service Commission, from the compliance fee, I would call it war chest, that they have when they collect these monies via the shortfall of DC Solar. I know that they're going to be asking for a substantial amount of money from that fund. So that means that DC ratepayers will be contributing to the infrastructure for electric vehicles. Well, what skin in the game does the car manufacturers have? What skin in the game does the dealerships have? Because they're the ones who are going to benefit other than Pepco. Now, I'm going to continue to reach out to, I've invited someone from Orsman Chevrolet to come on our show, talk about that. They did, for whatever reason, their Mr. Robert Orsman Jr., he didn't have time to come on the show, and his general sales manager, Mr. Jones, I guess he declined. But these area dealerships, I've invited the representative from Nissan to come on. So I'm going to reach out to the Automobile Washington, D.C. Automobile Trade Association. They said they didn't have any electric vehicle dealerships in the district. So that's one of the reasons why they haven't been, they don't promote a lot of issues around this EV. It is going to be a, what we call a paradigm shift, because Maryland is a zero-based emission state, as well as the District of Columbia. What does that mean? If you have an older combustion engine, you will probably end up having to shift to an electric vehicle or a hybrid electric vehicle, because you ain't going to be able to get out to emissions. These are realities. And one of the things that's very, very troubling to me is looking at the price range on these vehicles. Until you get more vehicles being sold and getting into the marketplace and more mass production of these vehicles, which will bring the cost down, but until you bring the cost down, and when we begin to look at markets like Washington, D.C., and every other urban market, you will find that our colleges and universities are one of the major driving economic engines in the DMV market area. Without question, Morgan State, Coppin State, Johns Hopkins, Bowie State, American University, Georgetown, GW, Howard University, University District of Columbia, Catholic University, Trinity, Gallaudet, University of Maryland College Park. And I know James Mason, Madison, these college students can't afford $50,000 for a Chevy Volt or $35,000 for a Chevy Volt or Nissan Leaf. So if these incentives are not available to get for D.C. residents and for Virginia residents, and when you when the rubber really meets the road, it's the parents who are going to end up having to try to foot the bill to put these kids in used cars. Why aren't these investment tax credits applicable to the secondary car market, which is used cars? Because you're going to find college students driving used vehicles onto the campuses every day, because that's what they can afford. And that's what their parents can afford to put them in. Very few of them parents are going to be able to put them into a $35,000. And without the incentives, such as these $5,000 rebate programs not being offered to D.C. and Virginia residents, oh, it has on. So every little bit counts. That is why I, in fact, and beating this drum around this, because you as ratepayers for with Pepco, if you're in the DMV market area or your energy provider out there in Virginia, you're going to end up paying for this. This infrastructure is coming to I-95. The electric companies aren't going to take a hit. The utility companies are not going to take a hit for this. They're going to pass it back on to us, the consumer. So you got to get educated around these issues, listening audience. That call-in number is 646-668-2948. That's why I just jumped on the soapbox around this issue. Now, we're going to be opening up our phones in our next session, because we got open phone a segment today. But I want to talk about a little more of the news and events piece. And like I said, in the EV will give rise to the demands on the grid. So Neighborhoods United 51st Co-op issues requests for proposals for installers. And you just heard the engagement coordinator for Neighborhoods United up on this platform, Solar Now in the Future. Blockchain could cut costs for rooftop solar, electric cars reports say. How can utilities prepare for the approaching electric vehicle boom? DC PACE issues a $25 million PACE note for DC United Stadium. And I just alluded to that in the first portion of our show, about this $25 million financing deal that was put in place to get solar panels on DC United new stadium. I have no problem with that. But it needs to be passed in the district for residential, because there is a residential side to this program. And it will be a game changer for the African-American community. So you got to go to your council people and tell them about the PACE financing program, and you want to know why it has not been passed for residential, only commercial in the district. The Manassas Technical Conference, which I was a participant in, which was held back on July 16th, 2018 at the Public Service Commission. So I went down there, and as they said, everybody else gets contracts. They want to pick your brain for information. But when it comes time to advertise on this platform to get the information out on the information that they was picking people's brains around, no, it's no cigar. Grants available for multifamily and workplace charging through the Electrify America and Semi-Connect. You want to look at that. If you are a commercial homeowner or property owner of a commercial buildings, Historic Black Colleges and University Clean Energy Initiative. I just spoke about that on last week's program. 2018 Summer and Fall Internship Programs, National Museum of American History and Art. Projected U.S. renewables could accelerate power price volatility, what the grid operators can do. Sprint to test a robotic self-charging electric vehicle charger in New York. Tough sell, car dealers are erecting barriers for electric vehicles, and this is in Sweden. So this is a plethora of information. And you, in fact, to join us by calling 646-668-2948. We have now opened up this show. The last 27 minutes of today's show is open up to our listening callers. And I will hope that some of our listeners will call in to this show with their concerns. Now, I've put a lot out on the table and set the table already, so you can pretty much call in and talk about whatever issues you want to talk about. And that is what we do here on this platform of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. We're going to take a slight pause for the cause, and we'll be right back with this format because we want our listening audience to join us at 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. And if you are listening out there, Mr. Corbin.
Life is a song worth singing. I can tell. Sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing. I got you. Sing it.
Welcome, welcome back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Bethay. And once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. That call-in number is 646-668-2948. And as I indicated earlier, we've reached out. And Mrs. Karen Jackson with WL Radio, who's the advertising director for WL 1450 AM and 95.9 FM radio, they have basically given me an opportunity to take this show to another level and another platform on the network. Radio 1 Network on Sunday mornings from 10 to 11 a.m. And as I indicated earlier, that will consist of me entering to a contract agreement with WL for 13 and a half weeks, 26 weeks, or 52 weeks, which is approximately 3.5 months, 6.5 months, or a year. We have no problem with their rate charges, and we will share that. It was $475 for 1 hour. And we also added in $700 a week in order for us to be able to produce this show and bring it to you, which we have no problem with making this information public. That is why we have put up a GoFundMe page. I think it is absolutely ridiculous that Pepco took the position that they took, and DOEE has taken the position they've taken about purchasing advertising time to allow me to be able to take this platform to a new level. I also have sent this advertising package out to the Public Service Commission directly to Mrs. Betty Ann Cain's attention, just like I've sent it to Tommy Wells' attention. But we can't only ask. We can't make anybody do anything. But we're going to put that information out for our listening audience because you can make the difference. You can pick up your phones and you can call those agencies and you can say, look, I listen to this man's show. And the information he brings us every week is news that we definitely can use. And he's talking about things nobody else is talking about, which is energy and how it affects your bottom line. Now, I'm waiting for some people who I know I talk to and ask them to call into this platform today. And I want them to call in because they have information to share. But once again, we can only ask people to do things. We can't make anybody do anything. But it's not going to hold me back from saying what I have to say on this platform, because if I'm afraid that somebody's not going to give me some funding because of something that I say, if it's the truth, then I'm going to speak truth to power. I don't need to be behind this mic. If it's too much heat in the damn kitchen, then you need to get out of the kitchen, because you don't need to be trying to cook the damn groceries. And as simple as that. So if you're out there listening, audience, would you please call 646-668-2948? Because I brought this platform forward today, and we brought this platform with an open phone segment for our listening audience, because we want them to join us. I am not in a position to stop this show to take a phone call for anyone right now. And, you know, because it will cut me off the airways. But if you're out there listening, in our listening purview, if you're listening to this show, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948, and all you have to do is dial 1, press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Now, as I was saying, every week I come on this platform and I bring information. Nobody else is talking about the $2.7 billion water infrastructure bill that the D.C. D.C. has decided they weren't going to pay. They decided they would pass that on to their ratepayers. This is another infrastructure issue. On the water, some churches are paying a fee, this Clean River river fee, and it is costing some churches in the district up to $2,000 a month. And some cemeteries are being billed as high as $19,000 a month. I ain't seen nobody drink no water in the cemetery yet. I invited Reverend Willie Wilson to join us on this platform to talk about this issue on May 18th. He declined. We can only provide a platform. We can't make anybody do anything. But those people who are in the community that are stakeholders who have a platform, you have a platform. It's called Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And we need people to join us on this platform. We have a caller right now coming in to our platform, Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. Hello, caller.
Hey, how you doing?
Great. May I ask who's calling?
This is Frank Coles calling.
Well, Mr. Coles, thank you for joining us on this segment, which is open to our listening audience. I'm glad you're out there listening. We covered the whole smorgasbord from top to bottom, talking about this Solar for All program, and I happen to know this gentleman, and I do know that him and his loved one, they are ones who are participating in the Solar for All program. So, Mr. Coles, could you please sort of share with our listening audience what y'all had to go through and what you're doing, and when will the system be on top of your property?
Well, we're still in the process of, I guess, finalizing the details on it. But it looks like we'll have some, the work will start sometimes in August. And we're looking to have panels put on the roof and to reduce our electrical costs tremendously.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to hear that somebody out there in the listening audience is listening to this, getting this information, and taking advantage of this information. Now, y'all are, I'm not going to use the word typical, but I would say y'all are baby boomers, and this is what I have been beating the drum around on this platform, that most of the African-American who are homeowners in the District of Columbia are baby boomers, and they had recently already been put a new roof on their property, because I'm familiar with very, very close friends of mine, and I know that they qualified for this program with no niches, and they had all I think his wife had looked into getting a PV system and purchasing this thing. And it was almost $20,000, wasn't it, Frank? Wasn't that cost of that system, if y'all went that way, would it cost y'all about $20,000?
Absolutely. That's exactly what it was, between $20,000 and $30,000. Yep.
That's what true. I'm trying to say. This is a tremendous opportunity, and it won't cost them a dime. But they're already paying for it, because when they pay their electric bills every month, they see how the shortfall of DC solar has increased their utility bills. That's why they went out, got to an information session that was held at the Petworth Library, and they got the information and they applied, and now they'll be putting this system on their home, and it will not only will it save them money every month, but if they decide they want to sell their home sometime in the future, it will also help increase the property value. So it's just a win-win-win situation. Well, Frank, I know that you and your people have taken the time to look into this thing and research this thing, but after you looked at it, it just made sense, didn't it?
Absolutely. It made plenty of sense, because electrical costs are going up leaps and bounds. I don't know what Pepco is doing, but they seem to be adding more and more money to the bills every month.
Well, this is why we opened this segment up for our listeners to call in, because, I mean, I'm walking down the street in D.C., and, I speak to everybody. I'm a country boy. That's just the way I am. And you can... And it's as so-called cold as D.C. is with strangers. But if you bring up the water bill and the electric bill, hell, you get a full-blown conversation out of anybody walking down the street in any community, regardless what color they are. Everybody hollering, man, my water bill, my electricity bill through the roof. And people have to understand this is affecting people, especially folks who are retired and on fixed income.
Right.
So Frank, I mean, you welcome to stay with me, because I was hoping I had some other folks would join me, but they haven't. But do you have anything else you'd like to share with the listening audience?
Well, you know, you have to do your research, and you have to look to see exactly what the costs are. There's a growing cost right now, I guess, in this country. On utility issues in particular, and it doesn't seem like the administration that's in place right now doesn't care about the working class individual, opinion, in terms of salary growth or income growth. So it's important that we, you know, listen to our talk radio shows like you that provide light and additional information on the types of activities that are occurring in the industry, in the energy industry. And it's very helpful for you to have a show like this, and that you continue to grow your show like this. So, you know, I applaud you for your effort, and I look forward to doing a lot more work with you.
Well, Frank, I really and truly appreciate you and Trudy, because y'all went out, y'all got the information, you did your homework, you seized it. Now you will be a shining example of how our people can take advantage of this program, because it's not making sense to me. Like I was sharing with Mrs. Yasmin Riviera, she was on in the top portion of this show. I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know if you go into any community, and specifically the African-American community, you're going to find that the majority of the homeowners are going to be in our age. We're baby boomers. So these are older homes. They have the housing stock is older in our communities, so the people need roof repair. And as I was sharing with Yacina, I recently found out that they have a commercial servicing program called financing program called CPACE, which I had Mr. Gerard Neely, who is the manager for the state of Maryland, talking about this program. But we only talked about the commercial side, but I found out that it was also a residential side, but the D.C. City Council and the state of Maryland, counties in the state of Maryland, they have not passed the residential side. And to me, that people should be all over the top of that, because that CPACE program will allow people to use their property value, appraised value, and they can borrow up from 20% to 35% to do the roof repair as well as put PV systems on top of their home if they wouldn't qualify for that Solar for All program. But if you would qualify for the Solar for All program, this would enable you to be able to fix your roof and do other insulation issues, structural installations, because this thing now is revolved into an industry, because you got people called energy advisors. They can come in with their little computers and point at the walls and the windows and tell you where your heat's going at the house and your air conditioning's going at the house and the whole nine yards. They give you an energy assessment. But the bottom line is, after they do the assessment, then it's left on you to come up with the money out your pocket to make the changes. Because that's what I was the problem I had out here where I'm at in Ward 9. I just was joined by another caller, so hello, caller.
Hello, Mr. Bidet.
Yes, sir, Mr. Corbin. You just joined Mr. Cole, so I'm gratefully that you joined. He's just sharing with the listening audience the fact that him and his people have been able to take advantage of the Solar for All program, and they'll be putting have panels on their roof real quick. Now, you're a D.C. resident, and your electricity bill is shot through the roof, right?
Oh, no doubt about it. Mine has increased quite a bit here in this last year. But I'm also part of the – I've applied for the Solar for All, and I have a little problem with my situation. I have to repair my roof. And
that's what we was talking about.
And
that's exactly
some,
what
some,
we just –
No, go ahead, Mr. Bidet.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about with Mrs. Jacina, and then Mr. Coles was just discussing the fact that a lot of people need roof repair, and I was sharing with him about this program called CPACE program, which will provide the financing based on the value of the property, not the credit rating of the person, not the equity of the in the property, but the value, appraised value. We will give someone 20% to 30%. That they can borrow, I guess, to fix the roof on the property, and that would be amortized over 25 years if one was to put on a PV system. So to me, not having that program in the district for residential and having already passed it for commercial use, I mean, it's great to put solar panels on the new D.C. United Stadium, but that $25 million deal could have helped fix a whole bunch of roofs if $25 million was put into a residential piece for D.C. residents. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, I would. And there's also some other options you have to repair the roof. Habitat for Humanity has a program, and if you qualify, you can get your roof repaired before, you know, I had the solar panels installed.
Well, could you share a little more about the Habitat of Humanity program? Do you have to register? Yeah, please do. Give that number out.
It's 202
202-882-1160. Give that number again, because I didn't, I sort of chopped it up. I didn't, because I'm repeating what you're saying. Would you give that number again, please?
202-882-1160.
1160. For the rest of our listening audience, that is some news that you can definitely use if you can get your roof fixed. Now, the issue is how much funding they have in these programs. So have you been able to get a date as to when they're going to be able to start repairs on your roof, or they put you on a waiting list, or what's their song to
not
you?
Not yet. I'm still in the application process, but they offer up to $15,000 in grant funds to low and moderate income DC homeowners towards.
Say that again. Would you please repeat that? Because I was unaware of that, and I'm quite sure our listening audience was unaware of that. Say how much money they provide in this grant program?
$15,000 in grant funds to low to moderate income DC homeowners toward critical roof replacement. They can call that number and they can get more information just by making the call.
Yeah, well, that makes a whole lot of sense to me. Now, I know that you have been in the transportation industry as long as I was in the industry. I was in the taxi cab and limousine industry for about 44 years. And I recently had privilege, I guess, because I was at a electric vehicle workshop that was put on by Pepco for Maryland, the District of Columbia, at their facility up in Rockville. And I heard Mr. Ernest Choppy, who is the a director for the new vehicle for hire. We used to just refer to it as the DC Taxicab Commission, okay? We can keep it plain on this show here. And he indicated they gave out $5,000 to $10,000 grants to cab drivers with no question asked who wanted to put electric vehicles on the street. But as an African American cab driver, and very very few of us of you are left, because I was one of the last to leave the industry too. I left in 2014, and I know you're still in this industry. Were you ever made aware of this program, Mr. Corbin?
Yes, I heard about the programs after the fact. But one thing you have to understand, Mr. Chaparral didn't make it clear that wasn't really grant money. That was money that the cab drivers had paid into the fund. Every first 50 cents of every fare goes to the D.C. government, plus 20 cents to send it, which they collect. And then in addition to that, other monies before that time that they've collected. So this really wasn't grant money. And also with those electric cars, I don't know any African-American drivers or if any money was made available to them or if any even knew about it, you know, unless it was after the fact. But I'm not aware of any American cab drivers who do. If they do, there's very few.
Well, Mr. Ernest Chaparral, he indicated that they had approximately over 100-something vehicles, electric vehicles in the fleet. So I wanted to make sure that we got that information out, because I sent an invitation out to Mr. Ernest Chaparral to come on this show to sort of explain that electric vehicle program to find out if they'd be opening it up or what the situation is. Because, see, I've seen what they've done with allowing these app companies to come into the industry. It's basically made it impossible for a driver to make a return on their investment in this industry. And I want to thank you, and I want to thank Mr. Coles for taking time to sort of join me on this show today, because this was open call for our listening audience. And I want people to know that we have people listening to this show. And especially those DOEEs of this world, those PEPCOs of this world, and the public service commissions of this world that I have gone to y'all to ask y'all to support this platform so we can take it to the next level, which is Radio One Network. And I've spent time explaining that to my listening audience prior to you two callers joining me, but I want to thank y'all for taking the time to weigh in, Mr. Coles and Mr. Corbin, for calling in to this show. So is it anything y'all like to sort of share with our listening audience before we close out, Mr. Coles?
Just continue the good work and the show and keep providing the information to the public, because that's a great need that exists today. So thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Corbin?
Yeah, well, I want to thank you for, you know, putting this information out for everybody to share, and we look forward to hearing your next shows, no doubt.
Okay.
There are
all right,
there is somebody paying attention.
All right, thank you very much, gentlemen. And those were two callers that joined us on this platform. As we close out today...
Is a song worth singing. I can tell. Sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Singing, I got you. Sing it.